There are two ways that that somebody could walk out of tonight's speech. It's clear this is not going to be anything different than any other thoughts or any other sicha. There are some people who I know for myself that you hear something very inspiring, and there are some moments that you're like, "Whoa, that was so amazing." But then, you know, but 5 seconds afterwards, when you're out the door or you're doing whatever you're doing, so it stays in your book or stays in the back of your mind as something that was really, wow, he spoke so nicely and he said so many meaningful things that have no effect on my life whatsoever. And then there are those who will walk out of it and say, you know, hey, wait a second, maybe I should actually change something in my life and thereby actually see and gamble and check whether any of those changes could have an effect on anything that I'm doing. And specifically, as we're on the brink of a three-day vacation, a three-day holiday, I'm not going to be a pessimist and say that if you do certain things on this vacation, you've thrown everything away and you won't be able to recover. And I mean, there are only like 97 months left in the year because it's a leap year. So I'm not going to say that. But what is clear is that if we're able to somehow bridge Monday night tonight to starting yeshiva again on Sunday, so your start on Sunday will be just so much more productive than it would be if you make a clean break and then have to start again from scratch on Sunday morning. I want to credit Yonah's father. He just about said this idea, but I want to flesh it out a little bit, and maybe we'll talk about some practical applications to what Rabbi Friedman spoke about. It says we say every night of Hanukkah, "Ein lanu reshus l'shtamesh b'hem ela l'rosam b'lvad." We're not allowed to use the candles of Hanukkah. Ela l'rosam b'lvad. We're only allowed to look at them. K'day lahodos ulahalel l'shimcha gadol. Somehow by looking at them, so somehow that'll be lahodos ulahalel l'shimcha gadol. For the Nisim and the Neflos that happened on Hanukkah. It's crucial at any point of the year to always know what's the specific Avodas Hashem that we need to do at this time of year. Because Chazal tell us, Estakel b'Araisu b'Aryama, that when God created the world, it's not that God, for example, gave us Pesach because on the 15th day of Nisan, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, but there was something in the creation of the world inherently on the 15th day of Pesach that made the Jews leave Mitzrayim on the 15th day. Hestakel b'Araisa, Hashem looked in the Torah and saw that on the 15th day of Nisan has to be a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and a mitzvah of Matzah and a mitzvah of Marar, and therefore when the world acted out, or when the world existed through that period, so it was clear that the Jews were going to eat the matzah, so that we would have a mitzvah of matzah, and the Jews were going to leave Mitzrayim because that's the way that the Torah had already defined that the history was going to go. So same thing with Hanukkah. There's a message that existed in the creation of the world that happened long before the 8 days of the miracle of Hanukkah. I wonder, I'm not sure if this is a real answer, but did you ever wonder why it was? There are some ha'aras about this is how long it took them to have in order to make tahar oil. But why is it that the holiday of Hanukkah lasted for 8 days? Why not 7 days? Why not 9 days? Why not 10 days? Why did the oil make it for 8 days? So again, I think that the real answer is because of the tahara process of oil until they could get new oil. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us daf ches. Interesting, it's daf ches. Tana Rabbanan, lefi shera Adam Harishon yom shemismaid v'holich. When Adam Harishon looked, and remember, when was Adam Harishon created? Which month? Tishrei. Adam was created on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Adam was born on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And starting from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, till Chanukah, the days get shorter. The sun starts setting earlier and earlier, and the nights get longer. When Adam Arishon looks and he sees the days were getting shorter, Amar, he said, "Oy li, what did I do? Shema b'shvil shesarachti, maybe because I messed up, maybe because I committed that sin of the Eitz Hadas, Olam Chashuch Ba'adei, the world is going to get dark because of me. V'chozer L'tov Avoh, and we're going to continue. We're going to slowly continue and progress, not just till 4:39, which is the earliest that it gets today, but the world's going to get darker and darker, and it's going to eventually go back to the state of Tohu Vavohu, to total chaos. V'zuhi Misa Sheniknasa Olai Min Hashemayim, and maybe this is the Misa, maybe this is the death that Hashem decreed on the world because I committed original sin. Not just that now man was going to have to die, not just that man wasn't going to live forever, but maybe the whole world would be heading towards Armageddon, the whole world would be heading towards total oblivion and destruction. Amar v'yashav ches yom v'tanis, so he sat 8 days in fast, u'betfila, kivan shera tekufas teves, when he saw tekufas teves, when he saw the period of teves, today was Rosh Chodesh Teves, when he saw the period of teves, or a v'ra, and he saw yom shemach v'holich, all of a sudden, going to start happening. Shabbos is now starting to get later. The days are not necessarily longer, but the sunset is starting to get later. When he saw that the day started to get longer, which is going to happen in about 10 days from now, Amar, he said, Min hago shel olam, whew, that was a close one. But now I see that this is the nature of the world, that this is what happens. Halach v'asa shmona yamim tovim, he made 8 days of holiday. So way back when, way before the Maccabees existed, and way before the Greeks existed, right in this period of the year, Adam had already celebrated an eight day holiday. L'shana Acheres, the next year, L'shana Acheres in the next year, Asa'an le'elu ul'elu yamim tovim. Everybody celebrated a yom tov. Hu kavam l'shem shemayim. He established the Yom Tov for the Shem Shemayim. At this period when the days start getting longer, Adam established a holiday, V'heim Kavam L'Shem Avodah Zarah. And the non-Jews, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they also established an 8-day holiday at this point towards their Avodah Zarah. So we see that right away in the creation of the world there was a split. This has nothing to do with Maccabees, and this has nothing to do with Yashka. This has to do with the time period that we're living in right now. Today it happens every year. That right now there's something that happens in the switch to the longer day that everybody realizes that has to be a holiday. But Jews, people who are interested in our Kaddish Baruch Hu, celebrate that L'Shem Shemayim, whereas non-Jews celebrate that L'Shem. The Shema Avodah Zarah. The first mitzvah that we're given in the Torah is Pruervu. It makes sense because, after all, how could we have any population? How could we have any continuum of Judaism if there's no mitzvah of Pruervu? So that's a critical mitzvah, and that has to be first. And the second mitzvah that we have is the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Now, it could be, you could argue, well, after Pruervu, obviously the first mitzvah, chronologically speaking, is Bris Milah, but I don't think that that's the case. There's a sefer called Sefer Achinuch. Anybody who hasn't seen it, I know some people are finishing the Sefer Achinuch for their Simchas Torah pledge, but the greatness of Sefer Achinuch is that he includes here his version, or his opinion, about why Hashem gave certain mitzvahs. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Bris Milah, the Sefer Achinuch writes, Misharshei mitzvah zu, lefi sheratza Hashem yisbarach lekvo abam. Why do we have Bris Milah? Not that we remember what happened then, but why do we have Bris Milah? Because Hashem wanted, Ratzah Hashem Yisbarach Likvoa Ba'am, to give a permanent sign in His people, Asher Hivdil, that He separated, Lios Nikra Al Shemo, that He separated to be called by His name, Yisrael, it's called in God's name, Os Kavua Begufam, we now have a permanent mark in our bodies, Lahavdilam Mishar Amen B'tzuras Gufam, that our bodies are now different than Shar Amim, our bodies are now different than anybody else, than all the non-Jews in the world. Not because we're better than them, not because they're worse than us, but because we're different, and because we need a sign in our bodies that we walk around with day in and day out that says we are different. In fact, the Gemara tells us that after somebody passes away and they're going to be Rahman al-Itzlan, but it happens that there are going to be some neshamas that go to Gehenna. So neshamas get off, they get a vacation when it comes Shabbos. So Friday afternoon, Avram Avinu, who got the bris, Avram Avinu goes down to Gehenna and he starts pulling people out of Gehenna and brings them to Gan Eden for Shabbos, and then they go back on Matzah Shabbos. That's why for an Avel, there's a special inyan that Friday afternoon davening, and specifically Matzah Shabbos davening, are real important times for the Avel or the mourner to daven, because that's the time that the neshamos are in transit. How is Avram going to know who's taking to Gan Eden and who is not taking to Gan Eden? How's Avram going to know? He's going to look who had a bris mila. The ones who had bris mila, let's go to Gan Eden. It's weekend leave. But the ones who didn't have bris mila, or perhaps the ones who even try to cover up their bris mila. I remember this used to be a movie way back in my time that called Europa Europa about the Holocaust, and there was this kid. We shouldn't know from the situation. He had to he tried to cover up his bris mila. Not that this is the case that I'm talking about at Avram and Gehenna, but there are people who try to cover up their who try to pretend they're not Jewish. So anybody who wants to pretend that they're not Jewish, so Avram's going to go down to Gehenna. He's going to be looking who's coming with me to Gan Eden for Shabbos, and he's not going to know. Sometimes he's not going to be able to tell the difference, Jew and non-Jew, and those people he won't be able to take out. But somebody who's distinctly Jewish, so those people could come to Gan Eden for Shabbos. We know Chazal tell us that there are three reasons, there are three zechuyos that Bnei Yisrael had that let us get out of Mitzrayim, that took us out of the Golos, that brought us to Geula. And I don't think it's so crazy to say that if we want Geula, if we want to get out of Golos, so it's clear that there are three things that we need to do in order to maintain our identity that's going to say that we're going to get out of Golos. Now, if you wake up in the morning and your priority is not, what could I do today in order to get out of Golos? If my priority is, you know what, I need an off day today. I need a day off, so I'm going to stay in bed, even though I really should be in yeshiva. Like I told somebody this morning, you know, nobody, well, you think I want to get out of bed? I love my bed. I have a great bed. I have great mattress. I have an egg crate like on my bed, and I have a mattress cover with big cushions, and I have a nice heavy down blanket. It's nice for me. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. But if you believe that there's some mission that you have to do on this world, and there's something you need to accomplish, and in order to bring Geula, it's not passive. In order to bring Geula, it has to be active. So you should wake up in the morning and say, what should I do to bring Geula? So the first thing on my mind is, am I going to do any of these? Am I going to do any of these things, the three things that are going to mark me distinctly as a Yid, as a Jew? So number one is, we know it was names, we know it was language, and we know it was in clothing. So in terms of names, you know, when I worked in a different yeshiva that's no longer, right, Benny, I worked in a yeshiva that's no longer around, you see Paul, right, Vatmacher, right, I worked in a yeshiva that's no longer around, so they used to, I didn't know this guy existed, but apparently there was a famous pop artist named Nate Dogg, and I was, I was Netanel, so, you know, I come into yeshiva one morning, and everybody's like, yo, Nate Dogg, and I'm like, right. But if you think about it for a second, what do we? You know, we learned from the Gemara in Brachos that the Gemara says that the Gemara says that her name was Rus, and it was some kind of prophecy that the name Rus was some kind of prophecy that David was going to come out of her, because David who sang Shiros was his Brachos. That's why they called her Rus. So now I have a choice. We could call each other by names, and we believe that when you Mirtz Hashem, you'll be parents one day of healthy children, and you'll give them names. And those names that you give those kids are Nevuah. So now you have a choice when you look at your friends. You have a choice. That you know, what are you going to call him? Are you going to call him Nate Dog, right, after an animal who sniffs through the garbage and all the things that are characteristic. You know, I'm sure there are nice, sure people have nice dogs and they're domesticated and very nice and everything. But you know, is that what we're going to identify somebody as? Or are we going to utilize the Nevuah? Last year there was a whole campaign. There's a guy in Yeshiva that used to call him Dishi. He asked, don't call me Dishi anymore. That's not my name. Then my Nevuah name and my Kadosh name is Michal Adam. So people laughed. Let's take a time out here for a second. It's good. So the name that we use to call each other, it's a name of Kedusha. And if we want to bring Geula, there's the principal of DRS High School, so he calls and remembers everybody's Hebrew names. And you stand there in line, and he's going through everybody's Hebrew names, and you're like, oh, you're such a, you know, why are you being such a dork? Just call me Scott. Right? Don't call me Scott. Call me Simcha Yosef, because that name has so much more kedusha to it. Now, why do we need to use? Because it sounds weird. Listen, you know, I would sacrifice weird and different if it's going to bring geula. So that's names. Yeah, you gotta be careful with what names we're using. In terms of language, you know, there's certain ways to speak. There's certain ways to speak that are appropriate, and certain ways to speak that's not appropriate. The Chafetz Chaim writes, he was the king. Chafetz Chaim was the king of being careful about speech. So the Chafetz Chaim writes that, I've said this before, I'll just throw it out again, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the room with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you wherever you go. He's with you all the time. And he's dying to hear from you. The basis of any good relationship is how well you communicate. Not how well you touch. Is how well you communicate. So Hashem wants a good relationship with you, and he wants to communicate with you. So he's there, and he is ultimate. He's total Kedusha. And what happens? So he's walking around, and he's in the dorm. He's in apartment 20, whatever it is, you know, on Do 11. He's there at night, and he's listening. What's going on here, in the apartment at night? Now, if it's Divrei Kedusha, and if guys are saying, hey, listen to what I learned today. You know, we did all eight blot, the first eight blot in Masechta Brachos today, and you got here, it was so crazy. Listen to what I learned. So then Hashem's like, whoa, I'm, awesome to be here. You know, and he's slapping everybody on the back, and he's like, wow, I'm really happy to be a part of this. But if he's sitting in the dorm and he's listening, oh, this machon mayan girl, this and that, and this girl, that, and oh, listen to what I did, and, and this curse word, and this nivel pen, and that. So there's a certain point that Akash Baruch is saying, like, not because he doesn't, he's dying to be with you. He's dying to be with you. But there are certain times that things come out of our mouth that he can't be with us. He can't tolerate listening to some of the things that are coming out of our mouth. So what's going to happen? So Akash Baruch takes out the little remote thing, and he puts you on mute. He puts you on mute. Not because he wants to. He has no choice. You forced his hand. You made him do it. So you're on mute. So you're like, all right, so listen, I'm on mute. It's not, lots of people don't listen to me. But what's the problem with mute? Here you are, you want to, let's say Chassid Rahman, let's learn somebody's sick. And you want to daven that they have Refuah Shleima. And you want somebody who's close to you. Or you need something really badly. You need something really badly, and you want to daven to Hashem. You want to really crank out a good davening because you need something. And you close your eyes and you shuckle, and you have that whole constipated look on you, and you're really feeling it, right? And you walk out, you feel really good. But you know how much Hashem heard of that? Zero, because you're on mute. Our mouth is our greatest weapon. Our mouth is our greatest communicator with Hashem. But the only way that we have the ability to use our mouth is only if it's B'kdusha V'tahara. And now you want to come, and if you look through davening and you see how much of davening is corresponding to Geula, and you want to come and you want to cry, V'li Yerushalayim Ircha B'rachamim Tashuv, and you want to daven with a lot of kavana, and you want to turn to God and say, how could it be that you don't answer my tefillos? You want to know why I didn't answer the tefillos? Because I didn't hear a word. Because you go back to the dorm at night, or you sit in the computer room, or you wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're with your friends in Yerushalayim or Ben Yehuda, in a bar, not in a bar, whatever you're doing, Ed Gonzalez, whatever it is that you do, and you're sitting there, and what's coming out of your mouth is not Divrei Kedusha, so Hashem has you on mute. Why isn't Geula coming? Because I don't hear a word of the davening. But if our language is clear, if our names are Kadosh, and our language has kadosh, so then we have a chance of geula. And the third one is we didn't change our clothing. There are certain ways to dress. Now you look at Nachbar, or you're like, wow, Nachbar's got self-respect. Look at that guy. He dresses like a, there's something to that. He's not like schlumped, and he's not, the guy comes in well-dressed all the time. Right, Avi Lasko, as long as it's not early in the morning, he still's got, he needs some pampering, but there are certain ways to dress. Do I dress like I'm somebody who's in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time? Or do I dress like I'm, God don't care, like Hashem's not around? What's the difference? It's because if we have bris milah, if we're defined separately, not better, if we're defined, we're separate. This is the way that we define ourselves by our dress. So then we have a chance. If we're separate, so then Hashem could say, then now we can have geula. So there's, I read a marketing paper once upon a time about a style that it seems to me that maybe we're starting to move away from that style, but it still exists. I even see it in yeshiva every once in a while. So there's a style of wearing pants very low, or shorts. You wear your shorts very low, so you can announce to everybody what exactly is under your pants. What brand you favor of the So where did that? So this article was, where did that style come from? Where does that come from? So I don't know that this is true. This is just what I read. Once upon a time, some prison in America, there were two inmates that had a big fight. And there was a real nasty brawl, and that night one of the inmates went to the other inmate's room, took his belt, strapped it around the guy's neck, slung it over the rafter, and hung him. And next day the police come in, they see the guy hanging from the ceiling from the belt. So it's new psak in the prison. We can't let prisoners have belts. It's dangerous. So no belts, and you're eating prison food. So what's going to happen? You get a little skinnier, Mirza Hashem by me one day, you get a little skinnier, and no belts, and the pants start to fall. So some genius outside jail says, "Wow, that's the way they dress in jail? I want to do that. That's my idol. That's who I want to be like. So I'm going to start doing that." So even though we outside in the outside jail world, we're allowed to have belts, but no, listen, that's the new style. And you walk around like that, and we look, and Jewish people look, and they're like, "Oh, that's the style today? Oh, if that's the style, if that's the culture, so that's the way I have to dress also, and let me dress like that as well." That's distinct dress. That's who we idolize. That's idolize Nachbar. That's who we want to be like. That's who we want to be like. Is the prison guy? So that was for Gullah's past. Don't change our names. We didn't change our language, and we didn't change the way that we dressed. But I would like to suggest, from my own experience, I'd like to suggest other elements of distinction between Yahadus and maybe other culture. Again, not because we're better. I can't stress enough, not because we're better. This is not, but just because we have to be distinct. I won't talk about hairstyles. Hairstyles is probably b'mal b'sheyem. Where's Hanan? Baruch Hashem, we have, this time of year also in yeshiva, it always happens. It change. I want to be more distinctly. Listen, you gotta look at Weiser, and you gotta know that he looks more Jewish today than he did. He didn't look bad. He didn't look bad before, but he just looks more Jewish today. So again, with our hair, same thing with our dress. You got distinctly Jewish. Thank you for being the Geula one step closer today, and you brought and for tzedakah. Dub mitzvah gureres mitzvah. About 12 years ago, I was post Shana Aleph, and I was in YU. And at that time, I was very heavily steeped in secular music. I didn't listen to any. We're not talking about there's stuff that the stuff that's out there, especially now, stuff that's out there that's totally usher to listen to because the damage on anybody is not just his neshama, probably on his body is probably obvious. I'm not talking about that stuff. I had a sister. She's the best person I know on the entire planet, the nicest person on the entire planet, and I idolized her back in the day. And whatever she wanted to listen to, that's what. Oh yeah, I'm sure that's what we're going to listen to. So I grew up listening. I grew up on what's called, let's call it girly music. What could I do? That's the way I grew up. I'm proud of who I am today. Maybe this had a role in it. But that's, it's not nothing. Us are just, you know, just it was just feminine. But you know, as I grew up, so I started getting, you know, I started getting involved in classic rock, because after all, you know, it's, you know, it's classic. It's like Beethoven is classic, and you know, and the Beatles, you know, are, and it's classic rock, and 92.3K, you know, it's like there's a whole. So I was really big on it, and people used to look and they say, like, you know, it's so weird, a guy who like sits in the base medrash, you know, and who learns, I went to Shalavim, a guy like that should listen to secular music. I'm like, look, and I didn't understand anything about Hashem back then. I didn't know from anything. I was so dumb. I had like a whole drasha. I had a whole drasha about why it's mutter to listen to secular music. I said, you know, the pasuk tells us Hashem was very careful. That you're not allowed to turn after your heart or after your eyes. So my eyes, okay, listen, there are certain things that we're not allowed to see. I'm totally into that. That's beferish in the pasuk. But if Hashem didn't want us to listen to secular music, so the pasuk should have said, "Lusasuru acharei levavchem, ve'acharei einichem, ve'acharei oznechem." But the aznechem, the ears, don't appear anywhere in the pasuk. So it must be that secular music is mutter. And I, you know, and I listened to it, and I thought that I knew what I was doing, and I was so smart, and I was learning, and I was listening to secular music. It's always interesting, and you should keep your eyes open for this. And by the way, if you walk out of nothing else, I'm just going to throw this in now. I said this over at the Shabbos table this past Shabbos, that we had a meal once on Shabbos, and at the table, I asked, did anybody have an inspiring moment that week? What was your inspiring moment for the week? And there were a lot of people at the table that night, and there were very few. There were so few people that actually came up with something meaningful. So now, what's the pshat? That people didn't have inspiring moments that week? No, God doesn't work like that. We have inspiring moments we have tons of inspiring moments every moment of our week. But the question is, who's got their eyes open? Who's got their eyes open to see that something important is happening right now? You got to have your eyes open. Because that night in January 1995, that night, I didn't know when I was getting dressed to go down to Stern, I didn't know that night was going to change my life forever, but it did. So there's when you go to if you end up going to YU, or if you don't end up going to YU, so in YU they have a shuttle service from YU to go down to Stern. You know, maybe some people are afraid to use the train, but it's free, which is always a positive, and you get a free service to go down to Stern. It encourages shiduchim and the, you know, and the promulgation of our religion. It's really great. Now, when I was older, so I used to, my dorm room used to overlook the shuttle site, and I used to call the, you know, that the little station. I used to be like, oh, I see you're going down to Stern. Everybody would be like, you know, like, where are you calling from? Anyway, so but before I got to that level of maturity, I was waiting in the station, ready to go down to Stern, and a car pulls up, and somebody that I recognize, he's now a Rebbe in DRS also, and Rabbi Natanel Grala, and he pulls up in his car and he says, oh, you're going down to Stern. Do you want a ride? So I said, no, you never want to be, you know, you never want to be caught out there. So you're like, yeah, sure, you know, of course I'll take the ride. So we were driving down. I don't remember at all how we got into the discussion about secular music, but he says to me, he's about 3 years older than I am. He says to me, you really listen to secular music? So I say, you know, I'm ready for this already, because I've given this drasha a million times. I'm like, yeah, of course I listen to secular music. You know, levavchem, enechem, osnechem, this whole thing, blah blah blah. I'm learning anyway, base medrash. I said to him, I was on such a roll that night, I said, you don't listen to secular music? And you're still able to learn? That's crazy. I said to him, why don't you listen to secular music? So he says to me, when he was in yeshiva, and his Rebbe said to him, you listen to secular music? And he responded to his Rebbe, why should I listen to secular music? Acharei levavchem, acharei einechem, acharei oznechem, this whole thing, the drasha, it's mutter, what's the matter with it? And his Rebbe said to him, because it affects your neshama. It affects my neshama, what are you talking about, my neshama, the ears, this. know, it's an iPod. What are you talking about? My neshama has nothing to do with my neshama. So his Rebbe said to him at the time, do you think you're going to die if you don't listen to secular music? So he said, no. Of course I'm not going to die if I don't listen to secular music. So why don't you stop and see? What do you got to lose? Stop for a little while and see. If you stop for a month and you don't, and you see that there's no difference, okay, there's no difference. But if you stop for a month and you see that after that month that your Avodas Hashem is better than it was when you listened to secular music, so then do you really have a choice? So he says to me in the car that night, he says, do you think you're going to die if you don't listen to secular music? I said, nah, I don't think I'm going to die if I don't listen to secular music. So what do you have to lose? Experiment and see. 1 month, no secular music. If no change, so what did you lose? You know, 1 month, no secular music, big deal. But if your Avodas Hashem is better than it was while you listened, so then do you really have a choice? So I said, you're on. 1 month, no secular music. And January 1995 was the last time that I got into a car or that I stood by my stereo and I put in a secular music. Not because, you know, if I get into somebody else's car, do I think I'm going to melt, you know, if I hear something said. Not because of that. But because after that 1 month, it was clear as day that my relationship to Hashem was so much stronger than it was when I didn't, than when I still listened to secular music. So you want to say, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why does secular, who cares about music? What's the point? What's the pshat? Why would music have such an effect on anything that I'm doing? Now remember, you could walk away from this and say like, oh, you know what, it sounds nice, but it's not for me, and maybe I'll continue to listen to secular music anyway. Or you could walk away and say, no, I'm going to take the plunge. Cold turkey. What's the difference? I'm not going to die anyway. What's the pshat? So we all know deep down what the pshat. We all know what the pshat is. Now you're warming up for a basketball game, and did you ever in your life see any basketball team? Whether we're talking about professionals, right, Weiner? Whether we're talking about professionals, whether we're talking about high school ball, did you ever see anybody warm up without pump up music? You know, the Eye of the Tiger, and We Are the Champions, and that other thing that Jock Rocks. You know, everybody always, there's always pump up music playing in the. Why? What's the big deal? Turn off the music. Who needs the music? After all, I should have my mind and I should have game face on. I should have game psyche on. Why do I need the pump up music for? Because let's face it, we don't get up. We don't get up as high when the music is off than when the music is on. You need the music. The music has something to do with our energy level. The music has something to do with our... You know, you ever watch one of these movies? You know, whether it's a horror movie or one of these girly movies or whether... You know, you're watching one of these... You ever watch it in silent and mute? It's not the same movie. The climax doesn't have that same punch as it does with the music as without the music. If there's no music, you're just like, ah, what's the big deal? But it's that, you know, like when they're at that big moment, you know, and like that music's in the background and it's like it's creating the chill in your spine, or it's creating that nostalgic feeling like, you know, oh my God, just kiss her. You know, it's the music that makes it. But what about in the morning? I remember when I used to have my alarm set to Z100 in the morning. And you know, the alarm goes off in the morning, and that song that you hear in the morning could be the worst song in the world. I remember it was like Paula Abdul, like every single morning. You know, it could be like the worst song in the whole world, right? But it doesn't matter. That song that the alarm goes off to, that's the song that's in your head the rest of the day. And no matter how hard you try, you can't get that song out of your mind. The Hebrew word for songs is shir and zemer. And both those words, shir and zemer, synonymous for cutting. Shir, to cut. Tashir is to remove, like to cut it. Or zemer. Charmachol lo sizmor, don't cut. Don't cut your vineyards. They both mean cut. Because we all know, We all know that there's some power that music has that cuts right to the core of what we're all about. I remember in high school I used to go out with these girls, and you know when you're you go out with girls, and part of the whole routine is you have to make a mix of like the songs that define the relationship and create like that all that warm fuzzy feeling. Like, whoa, because it's the music. It's the power of music that cuts right to what we're all about. And the question is, what do we want at our core? What's lying at our core? Even if it's kosher, even if it's something that's kosher secular music, is that what should lie at our core? Is that what should be going through our mind all day? Or versus, can't you see that if it's psukim of Tehillim, even if the level of the music itself is, you know, of course it's on a lesser level. You know, if you really appreciate, you know, any musician could appreciate the fact that Jewish music is just not of the same caliber. But the difference in our avodas Hashem, if what's going through our mind is psukim of Tehillim or Ma'amari Chazal, as opposed to how much I miss you. You know, you can't see how that would affect your avodas Hashem. You wake up in the morning and what's going through your mind is Gemara and Dav Zayin that Avram Fried sang, or the pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech came up with. You can't see how that would make a difference in your avodas Hashem when what's going through your mind all day is kedusha as opposed to something else. So I throw out that challenge. Everybody, you could say it's not for me. It might be a personal thing. It might be for me. It might just be my neshama was more in tune and my neshama improved in that manner. But I throw out a challenge. On Hanukkah, when you need to be distinct between Jew and non-Jew, how distinct are we willing to be? Do you think you're going to die? What's the big deal? What do you have to lose? Why don't you give it a shot? Oh, I'm struggling in yeshiva. I'm not really hitting on all cylinders. So why don't you change something? Do something different. Maybe have your name different. Maybe have your language different. Maybe have your clothing different. And maybe have the music that you listen to. Maybe that'll be different. Oh, but I'm in a fine place where, you know, I feel like I'm in a fine place right now. There's no such thing as you're in a fine place. If you're in X place and you're still alive, so that means that you have X plus place to get to. What do you have to lose? But this year, I'm not going to stop at secular music. If you want to be makabel that on yourself, for me, that's old news. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop there. Because we're so inculcated with secular culture that last year at this time, I was makabel on myself. That I knew that I have an issue with sports. I grew up with sports, I love sports, and I'm addicted to sports. So I'm now approaching the 1 year anniversary where I have not seen, and for some of you it might not be a big deal, but for me it was a huge deal. I have not gone onto the homepage of ESPN.com in now almost one year. There are things that we classify as mutter. There are things that we classify, of course it's allowed. Of course, you know, it's not killing and it's not Gilei Arayos. You have to ask yourself sometimes, by the way, maybe some things that you think are mutter are really Gilei Arayos. Like, it could be that football league that you play in on Matzei Shabbos, if you see what's going on there, you know, it might border a little bit. You have to ask yourself, you know, what Rabbi Levi Friedman told me this morning, it was such a great insight. He said that, you know, we all know the tradition that when a baby's in the womb, so the malach is there and you're learning Torah, and on your way out of the womb, so the malach gives you a little clap on the, you know, over here, and you forget all the Torah. And he said, you know, he thinks that there's a malach standing outside of Kraft Stadium on Saturday night, and when you walk out of Kraft Stadium, there's a little clap right there on your nose so you can forget all the Torah and Avodas Hashem that you gained in the previous week. I will tell you, hands down, and I'm ready to make a new Kabbalah now. I'm ready to go to the next level. That for sure, my Avodas Hashem this year, even though it's not that I didn't follow sports, I knew what was going on in sports, So, but even one geder of not ESPN.com, I know that my Avodas Hashem was much stronger, and now I'm going to go to the next level. I'm ready to take new year, new step. Or movies. You know, what's the problem with a movie? A kosher. If you can get your hands on a kosher movie. What's the problem with movies? So first of all, if you want to be really, if you want to have integrity, you have to ask yourself, is it really kosher? When you're finished with that question, you can ask yourself, maybe I'm not being distinct. Maybe I'm not being distinct. Am I acting like a Jew, or am I acting like a non-Jew? A number of years ago, I stopped going to theaters. There's such a thing as a kosher movie. Is there such a thing as I need downtime? Yes, there's such a thing as I need downtime. But is it that I need downtime on every specific moment that the best movie that's coming out in the history of the world is now going to be shown? So now it's funny how that's always the time that I need downtime? That I should wait 3 hours online, just to get a ticket, in Tel Aviv. I've never been to Tel Aviv before. I'll go to Tel Aviv, I'll go to Yerushalayim. Believe me or don't believe me, but I know that I'm 100% right. The more that you get yourself involved in secular culture, and it's on tape, and they'll call me up and they'll be like, oh, you're fired, and how could you say this, modern Orthodox? We have to be, the more that, be modern Orthodox, but the more that you're involved in secular culture. Now again, sports is not us, sir. If you really need downtime, follow sports, it's amazing. And if you really need downtime, get yourself a kosher movie, it's amazing. But ask yourself, is this really downtime? And the more that you involve yourself in secular culture, the more it's going to affect your Avodas Hashem. And don't come to me with a taina. I don't get it in yeshiva. I don't feel Gemara. I'm not feeling Gemara. And I'm not feeling that. Can't talk to God. I'm not davening properly. And I'm not this. And I'm not, and I wish, if God really wants me to do Avodas Hashem properly, so let him make me feel it. It's his fault. It's his fault. What are we doing? Am I really willing to take the hard steps of cutting this and that out of my life? Because I'm telling you, the more you're involved in secular culture, again, not its usher, but the more that you throw yourself in, you're making the cheshbon that I'm affecting my Avodas Hashem. Says Rav Volbe, you wake up every morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, with a lot of kavana, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elkeinu Melech HaOlam, Shelo Asani Goy. Says Rav Volbe, Ilu hayisi nolad gai, chas v'shalom, eze ason ze haya. What a punishment this would have been for me, that I couldn't be Jewish. Is this really the way that I feel? Is this really the way that I feel? I say shalom asani gai every morning. Do I even realize what I'm saying? Do I even realize that what I'm saying is that I'm happy to be part of the religion that I'm a part of? Ha'im b'hashkafosi ein bi nitzo shel goyos? Is there any smack? Is there any shemetz? Is there any little bit of goyos in my outlook, in my perspective on life? What are the things that I'm doing? How are the things that I'm spending my time? Do I worship my body? Do I spend too much time in the weight room? Do I spend too much time with sport? Shelo asani goy. I want to say I promise you, but I'm afraid. But I'm telling you, dedicate yourself to Kedusha and Hashem and you'll feel much differently about Kedusha and Hashem. Sacrifice things secular, not college, not get a job, go to college, get a job, but the things that are not critical for your life, the things that you won't die from, ask yourself, do I really need that? Some people will walk out and be like, well, that's really nice, not for me. But are you willing to dedicate yourself to Hashem? Are you going to die if you don't experiment? If you don't challenge yourself? If you don't try something new? Ein lanu reshus lehishtamesh bahem ela lirosam bilvad. It's not the ela lirosam bilvad that's the kedei lahodos ulahalel, but it's ein lanu reshus lehishtamesh bahem. The pasuk in Zechariah we read in the Torah this past Shabbos on Chanukah. Haskol basar lifnei Hashem kinei or mimon kacho. That when Hashem came down to give the Torah, nothing moved. The ocean didn't make waves. The birds didn't fly. The animals didn't do noises. Nothing moved. The world was totally silent. Haskol basar lifnei Hashem. There was not one movement when God came down to the world. Why? The Jews are standing at our Sinai. If some bird in California has got to go do his bird thing, so now that's going to affect God on our Sinai halfway across the world? And the answer is yes. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more that we take away from that focus, so then the less of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's going to be. Ein lanu reshus leshtamesh bahem, we don't have permission to use the candles, because the less that we use by ourselves, the better the lahodos ulahalel it's going to be. It's your life. I have enough to work out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on my own cheshbon of things that I do wrong. You choose. You choose where you want to be in your avodas Hashem. You choose what you want to do, what sacrifices you want to make, and what places you want to get to. Yiratzon l'fnei avinu shebashamayim should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, that right now on Chanukah, which is clear from the Gemara and it's clear from everything that we believe in, that the point of Chanukah is the distinction between Jew or non-Jew, that I need to look and act and behave distinctly Jewish, that Hashem should help us in the world is so hard to sacrifice and it's so hard to give up on so many of these things that we enjoy. They should help us realize how devastating they are to our avodas Hashem. And it's not just, oh, but it's mutter, so I'll just take this one thing, what's the big deal? Please believe me, it's devastating. Hashem should help us be able to make the sacrifices necessary to be the best over the Hashem that we could be.